Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is also Respect Life Sunday. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark, talk about the Word of Life for October, and also talk about Respect Life Sunday. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. The Youth Ministry Department of Most Precious Blood Parish will offer free viewings of the acclaimed movie For Greater Glory on October 19th and 20th in the Monsignor Thompson Parish Hall, 3502 Saratoga. This film on the importance of religious freedom has particular resonance for us today. It asks the question, what price would you pay for freedom? Although primarily directed at youth, all are welcome to attend. Additionally, the lead actor in the movie, Mauricio Curi, who portrays Blessed Jose Sanchez del Rito, will appear for a question and answer time at the church on October 26th. For complete information on the movie and the actor's appearance, please call the parish office at 854-3800. What price would you pay for freedom? Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. Starting October and deeper into the fall season.
It is.
My favorite.
I know. I love October. We have a lot to cover in the program today, but our gospel today is from St. Mark.
Yes.
So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Good. And it's a beautiful gospel. It's difficult, especially in our society today, but it is the word of God. And I think we need to listen to it and open our hearts to the Word of God in light of the last part of this gospel, which tells us to receive Jesus and to receive faith in the simplicity of children. So I would invite everyone as we listen to this gospel to do so with the heart of little children.
It's wonderful.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" And they replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That is a beautiful ending for us to think like children.
Yes, and it certainly, you know, as we talked last Sunday about the mystery of life, the mystery of faith, the mystery of Jesus, the mystery of marriage, the mystery of of being a single person, it's all mysterious, but it's only with the heart of a child, because the heart of a child is not the heart of a selfish as it grows, it's the heart of simplicity.
In innocence.
Of innocence and simplicity. And that's certainly where mm-hmm. The kingdom of God resides. Mm-hmm. So I would just ask all of us to keep that in mind. Also, as we just address for a moment today the Sunday that we're celebrating throughout the church, actually throughout the world, and that is Respect Life Month, Respect Life Sunday. So it begins this Sunday, and throughout the month we want to refocus our attention on life in all of its expressions. As we know, the teaching of the church, the teaching through tradition throughout forever, the history of the church has been that life begins at conception and that it should be sacred, it should be honored, it should be helped, as we talked about last Sunday, of not neglecting life throughout life until natural death. That mm-hmm. one of the commandments from the Decalogue is you shall not commit murder, you shall not take another's life. So there is a tremendous need for us to rediscover, and I would say today for all people, Christians and all Catholics, Christians, people of goodwill, we all need to renew ourselves with a personal commitment, a personal re-looking at the situation to protect and defend human life, especially people who are most vulnerable and most innocent. And that innocence, of course, is most clearly understood in the womb of its mother. It's an innocent life. It is life. I've been thinking over the past few months how powerful language is and also how insidious it can be, because we can grab on to certain expressions. And this is what's happening when these issues are thrown into the political arena. People take issues of morality. People take issues that belong to, I would say, more in the area of religion, of morals, and they dissect it through language, such as the problem, that the child in the womb is a problem. I just read last week in the paper that New York City and the schools are passing out a day after drugs to take care of a problem so that the teenagers don't have to grow up with a problem. People grab onto that language, and that's powerfully insidious, that mm-hmm. it's not a problem. And no matter how that life came to be in the womb of its mother, it is a life. And if we can't respect that life, that innocent life, not fully developed, not fully grown, but life, if we can't respect that life, then we're going to end up not respecting other forms and other expressions of life throughout. And again, language plays a very strong role in that. We see around issues of contraception and health issues. Well, are those health issues or are those preventive measures to something I don't want, which is right. life? It's a very strong. So this Sunday and this month is a really time for all of us to reexamine ourselves with the heart of a child, not jumping on to bandwagons, either political bandwagons or cultural bandwagons that everybody's saying this. You know, each one of us, as we begin next week, the Year of Faith, each one of us has to examine ourselves individually and collectively as a society and as a church, to recommit ourselves to life. It's not a choice. It is a gift. Mm-hmm. So you can see, if you look at all these words, that these buzzwords that we have adopted in this arena of respecting life, we have to be very, very careful that we don't use those to cloud our conscience. The conscience has to be free of those realities, open to faith, because it's really our faith that will lead us to understand life. In fact, the theme for this year's Respect Life Sunday is, and Respect Life Month is, faith opens our eyes to human life in all its grandeur and beauty.
Oh, that's beautiful.
To all of its grandeur and beauty. But it's faith that does that. Mm-hmm. And I would say respectfully, not politics.
Right.
Not culture. And I'm saying popular culture. It's faith that opens our eyes to life. And only faith can really give us an understanding of true life. Pope Benedict said in Lebanon just recently that the grandeur and the reason for everyone's life is found in God alone. That's the point that's missing. I mean, there's basic realities that truly only faith can show us, but there's definite realities that are missing when people do not respect life. The grandeur of each person, of you and me and everyone that's listening and everyone in the world, and the reason for each person's life is found in God. And when we take God out of the picture, which is slowly and sometimes more quickly in other places happening, we're going to lose respect for life. And so life is a commodity. You can have it, not have it. If it's not the way I see it should be, then I alter it, I change it. So it's a real, I think, a crossroads for all of us to not only support life, but also to look at the meaning of our own life and the meaning of the life of those around us. Pope Benedict also said recently in Lebanon that if we want peace, let us defend life. This approach leads us to reject not only war and terrorism, which we can get focused on those things, I'm saying that, but he says, but also assaults on human innocent life, on men and women as creatures willed by God. We must combine our efforts then to develop a sound vision of the human person. Without this sound vision of the human person, it is impossible to build true peace. I think just at the very core, philosophically, we don't know what a human being is. Mm-hmm. This is the root of the problem, that this person is willed by God. Each person is willed by God, no matter how it has come into life in the mother's womb or has been born, set out on a journey, which is to lead to God. But if we don't have a vision of that, if that's not our vision, then life's a commodity that we can receive, not receive, get rid of, alter, change, etc. And so what the Pope is saying is that we need to develop a sound vision of who the human person is. When you go back in the history of philosophy, what's the basic question? I mean, probably many people don't study philosophy, but what is the basic question of philosophy? It is, who am I? Who am I? Which means, who is the human person? What is the human person? When we don't spend time to reflect on that question, we lose our way, and we find ourselves in the way that we are today of not respecting life and giving dignity to every expression of the human person as they live their life in the world.
So for the rest of the month, we will have some readings, and there'll be information on our website and the USCCB website about Respect Life Month.
Right, exactly. And I would encourage all of us to spend this month in prayer for ourselves to understand and to embrace life, but also to pray for our world, our country, pray for the children in the womb, pray for those that are imprisoned, that they receive their dignity and respect. Pray for those who are unemployed, pray for those who are immigrants and who are searching for a better life. I mean, it is, if you look at it and you open up the door to this difficulties that surround life today, it's infinite. And all these infinite problems are rooted in the fact that we have to have a sound vision of the person. This is my neighbor. This is my brother. And Jesus in the gospel shows us that with this Good Samaritan and so many other parables, reaching out to the neighbor in need.
It's wonderful. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and then we will read the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
As human efforts fail to solve America's key problems, we turn to God through His Holy Mother, asking His urgent help. You're invited to join in a public square rosary rally on Saturday, October 13th at noon at the south end of Cole Park. This will be one of nearly 8,000 rosary rallies held across the nation on the same day, the 95th anniversary of the solar miracle at Fatima, Portugal, witnessed at noon by 70,000 people in 1917. The rallies are sponsored by the America Needs Fatima organization. For more details, call Deacon Wayne, Rally Captain, at 991-2837. Holy Family Parish, 2509 Nogales in Corpus Christi, invites everyone to their fabulous Family Fall Festival, Sunday, October 7th. It all begins at 11 a.m. and continues until 9 and will feature live music all day. Of course, there'll be games for everyone, fabulous food, and loads of fun for everybody as well. To get the whole scoop, call the parish office at 882-3245.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in October, and so as is our tradition of the first Sunday of the month, we have the Word of Life.
Right, and I think it's very apropos to this month of Respect Life, because as I said at the beginning, that the theme of this month for Respect Life is faith opens our eyes to human life in all its beauty and grandeur. So the Word of Life for this month is about faith.
Yes, it is.
A very common, well-known incident in the life of Jesus and his disciples with Simon Peter, but a very powerful one calling us to a life of faith. Mm-hmm. But at your command, I will lower the nets. Jesus, when he had finished teaching, sat down in Simon Peter's boat and told Peter and his companions to put into deep waters and lower their nets for a catch. Peter explained that he had been hard at it all night long and had caught nothing. But at your command, he said, I will lower the nets. When they had done this, they caught such a great number of fish that the nets began to tear. Some of his companions then came to help him, and between them they filled the two boats until they nearly sank. Peter, completely amazed, as were his partners, James and John, fell at Jesus' feet, saying, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus told him that he should not be afraid, and that from then on Peter would be a fisher of men. From that moment, Peter, James, and John became followers of Jesus. This is the account of the miraculous catch of fish, symbolic of the apostles' future mission. Peter's attitude is not only a model for other apostles and for those who would succeed him, but also for every Christian. But at your command, I will lower the nets. After an unproductive night, Peter, an experienced fisherman, could have smiled and refused Jesus' invitation to cast the nets in broad daylight, a less favorable time of day. Instead, going beyond his own reasoning, he puts his faith in Jesus. This is a typical situation that all believers are often called to face due to the very fact that they are believers. Every day, their faith is put to the test in 1,000 different ways. Following Jesus requires determination, commitment, and perseverance. Everything in the world around us, however, seems to be leading us toward mediocrity, inviting us to take it easy, to let things go their own way. When the task appears too great, impossible to achieve, and doomed to fail, what should we do? What is needed is the strength to go ahead, to resist whatever negative influences may come from the world around us, from social pressures, from friends, from the mass media. It is a different struggle that must be carried on day by day, or better still, hour by hour. But if we take on the task and welcome it, it will help us to mature as Christians and enable us to experience that the extraordinary words of Jesus are indeed true, that his promises are fulfilled, that this life can become a divine adventure, 1,000 times more fascinating than any other we can imagine. For example, we may be able to bear witness to the fact that while in this world, life may often be difficult, dull, and fruitless, following God, we can experience the abundance of His gifts, the hundredfold in this life and eternal life. The miraculous catch of fish repeats once again, "But at your command I will lower the nets." How can we put this word of life into practice? We can do so by making the same choice as Peter, "But at your command." We should have faith in God's word. We should not cast doubt on what He asks of us. Furthermore, we must base our behavior, our life, everything we do on His word. Our lives will then be based on something truly solid and secure. We will be astonished to see that in those very situations where every human resource fails, He intervenes. And even when it would be humanly impossible, life is born. Written by Carrie Lubick.
You know, Bishop, I think each month we have these. I'm always so amazed how these are so clearly aligned with what we've been doing with the Gospels. I mean, there were passages in here that she was explaining that were like with last week. And as you said, this Sunday with Respect Life, you know, because it's a wonderful verse from Luke chapter 5, verse 5.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, that's what you're saying, Barb, is so true. And, you know, when it comes down to life, sometimes, you know, people do get into, and I understand, you know, into situations where there's an extreme choice that needs to be made. And it seems like the road is dark. It seems like it's at a dead end. I'm thinking of people in a very difficult health situations where suffering enters in. And unfortunately, the mentality of our world is kind of tempting people to say, we can help you end your misery, where this is the time, lower the nets. Maybe this week, some of you, maybe myself as well, may have something happen. The doctor may announce to us we have some kind of a disease. Lower the nets. Lower the nets. I visited recently with somebody who was facing a very, very difficult surgery. And what faith. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I walked away, you know, edified by this person's faith, just saying whatever God wants and trying to express that to her family as well, to follow that example. And that's a person who has understood lower the nets. You know, it's not all about us, our resources, our abilities, our strengths. A person of faith realizes that the greatest strength, the greatest ability is beyond, is transcendent, is beyond us. And that's where this gospel, this certain passage from St. Luke's gospel with Peter, I mean, Peter was the professional fisherman. Jesus wasn't.
Right.
And Peter said, I've been at it all the time. You do it at night. You don't do it during the day. And, you know, everything that Jesus asked him to do was against his human reasoning and his profession. So it made no sense.
And plus they were tired.
And they were tired already, you know, as it was. Been at it all night long. Mm-hmm. But at your word, I will lower the net. So the encouragement here for us is to lower the nets. And it's a simple thing to remember throughout this month. When you get into those moments, lower the nets. And again, going back to our Respect Life Sunday and Respect Life Month, we should never give up trying to promote a respect for life. I mean, I know sometimes it seems like nobody's listening, that we are, you know, just a voice in the wind. But the more that we gather together and the voice becomes louder, we will not lower the net. We will not lower the nets. Let me put in the double negative to make it a positive. We will continue to lower the nets for life because we know that that life is transcendent. It belongs to God. It is created by God. Its destiny is the Lord God. And so we cannot not lower the nets of faith and say that we will win in defense of life. So that's the courage in this area that I think we all need to have during this month and throughout our life. Let's never stop lowering the nets of faith into every situation, into every challenge that is there. And this is so simple an expression, lower the nets, that parents can teach that to their children. We were talking last week about parents and the role of parents, the role of pastors. Sometimes, people get into things. I mean, I know even as a pastor, people come to you and your heart, your compassion, your thinking, I'm putting myself in that situation. Well, and so you try to solve people's problems. Right. It's not about solving anything. It's about lowering the nets. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage all of us during this month, and whatever God asks of us, whatever joys God gives us, it's a gift. So let's lower the nets of faith and find the true meaning of life in our God who has created us, who sustains us, and who loves us by sending us his word.
Thank you, Bishop. Well, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who in the abundance of your kindness surpass the merits and the desires of those who entreat you, pour out your mercy upon us to pardon what conscience dreads and to give what prayer does not dare to ask. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.